Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
If you need to pick me up in the middle of the night, that'll help. Midnight on the West Coast. I know Alaska and Hawaii, you all are still stragglers, and so you'll catch up eventually, but officially it is Fri-yay for the continental United States. So happy almost Friday to the rest of you, but the weekend is within view. It's within reach, if you will. After hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, scarfing a little popcorn pre-show. And I do love my extra movie theater butter popcorn. It's actually one of my favorite treats, but I kind of feel guilty because I had it as part of our pre-show routine. And then earlier on Thursday, I haven't done this in a long time. I've really, for the most part, cut out any binging on potato chips for the last couple years. It hurts me sometimes because I love my Tostitos hint of lime chips, but I don't really have them in the house a lot anymore. That prevents me from binging and eating half the bag all at once. Do you know I've had a bag of Tostitos Hint of Lime chips in my cupboard for a good 6 weeks? Maybe not that long. We'll call it 4 weeks without opening it.
Really?
Because I was eating, I had some Wheat Thins. I always have Goldfish. That's really my go-to snack. I've had some different trail mixes for some of the hiking and kayaking trips I've done because they're easy to transport. I even had some thin cantina style corn chips, which I ate over the last couple of weeks. So this bag has been sitting in my cupboard and I have not touched it. But I woke up early on Thursday afternoon because I had calls to make, appointments to get to, I had a bunch of errands to run. Dog to walk, of course. And so I woke up early. By the time I got through my cycle of, I had coffee, obvi. By the time I got through my cycle of errands and phone calls and everything else, it was almost 6 o'clock. So I woke up at 2:30, didn't eat anything. It's almost 6 o'clock and I'm starving. So I get home from errands. I have to give Penny her insulin. And then I have a few other things that I have to accomplish before I can eat dinner. But there was no way I was going to be able to last until dinner, right, without eating something.
Errands work up an appetite.
No, they do. They do. And just being awake, because that would typically be it wouldn't be a breakfast. I don't eat breakfast then. But you know when you wake up, a lot of times you get hungry. So I've been up now for nearly 4 hours without eating anything. And I decide, all right, I'll have a snack. Open up the cupboard. There is the bag. My absolute fave, Tostitos Hint of Lime Chips. And for a moment there, with wild abandon, I plowed through the bag. And get this, because I was hungry when I stopped at the grocery store, I just had a few items to pick up, but I was hungry, and my eyes rested upon peach and pineapple salsa. a medium peach and pineapple combination salsa. So I got home, didn't even put it in the cupboard, pulled out the chips, started dunking into the peach and pineapple salsa. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. And then made myself clean a bunch. Bathrooms to clean since I'll be gone for a couple of days. I have a dog sitter coming over. So bathrooms to clean, floors to clean, worked a little bit so I could build up an appetite and then put some steaks in the oven on the broiler.
I did not see that coming. Nice.
Yeah, I did eat the steaks with salad, but Thursday was a bit of a, I don't want to call it cheat day because it's not like I was eating 2,000 calories or anything. It was just nice to be able to eat my favorite chips with peach and pineapple salsa and then have a steak with my salad. I'm not sure I deserved it, but it was delicious.
I think you've earned it.
You think I've earned it with all the cleaning this week?
Exactly.
I've done a lot of cleaning this week. Goodness. I did not do either my push-ups or my sit-ups on Thursday.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I mean, but you're cleaning and moving around, doing errands, cleaning the house. That's like works up a sweat, too. Like, it, you don't think of it as exercise, but it is. You're moving and stuff.
It did, but it definitely did not help me with my abs or my shoulders and pecs.
It's a different workout.
Yeah, it definitely is that. So we're heading into a Friday. I hope you have some fun summer plans. One of these last weekends of summer. Whew. I can't ask my fourth and fifth graders about going back to school because they groan at me. Stop it. Don't talk about school. Anyway, we'd love for you to take our Tay-Tay versus Messi poll. It's a messy Tay-Tay poll. Just a few minutes left. And so I did retweet on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's actually a lot closer than it was when we first introduced the poll. Who's hotter on the planet? Who's hotter? And actually, I don't know if there is anyone on the planet hotter than Messi and Taylor Swift. Can you think of anybody else who might be hotter right now in the entertainment slash celebrity world other than Ahsoka? Of course.
Nice. No, I really can. Those are the two hottest names.
Yeah.
So we got a reply on one of our things from the guy named Joe from that.
One of our things?
On that poll.
Okay.
And he goes, Taylor Swift sold out the Rogers Center in Toronto 6 nights coming up. That's 300,000 screaming kids. If Messi were to play 6 times in Toronto, say in a month, I don't know if he sells it out every time. I think he absolutely sells it out every time.
It's a good proposition. 6 nights in a row? You think there are enough Torontonians or Canadians who would show up at Rogers Center, meaning in Toronto, correct?
Right.
I thought I had a different name now, but I could be wrong.
I'm not sure.
Totally me. I can't keep up with stadium and venue names. Would he sell out 6 nights in a row? Would Miami CF sell out?
It's phrased as 6 times in a month, but I still think he would do 6 nights in a row.
Huh. In a month, probably.
I think easily in a month.
I would think there'd be enough people that would come from outside the city.
That's what I'm thinking.
Who would want to see him play and would recognize this might be their only opportunity.
Messi is so, he's what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he's bigger than, like, the game. Like, he
transcends the sport.
Right, he transcends the sport.
I was thinking about Taylor Swift, actually, even before this came up. If she's doing 6 nights in a row in one venue and selling them out, you've got hundreds of thousands of people who are expecting the best that she has to offer. A lot of singers will run into this, though, where they don't have enough vocal rest and their chords and their voices start to suffer. And I don't know from the singing perspective what types of precautions she should or does take. But I know that for me, especially being in a long-distance relationship, it's been hard to protect my voice over the course of the last, say, 5 months. And then with the weather, too, the Canadian wildfire smoke that's come down from both eastern and western Canada, I assume she doesn't go outside much when she's in a place where there might be wildfire smoke. I don't know. Does she rent out an entire hotel so that she can work out and exercise without having screaming fans in her face all the time?
Did you see her last weekend? I think it was Saturday or Friday. She was at this wedding party, like the practice party.
Rehearsal dinner
before at this Jersey Shore for her friend. And it was like this remote location off the Jersey Shore. It wasn't Seaside Heights. And somehow it got out that she was there. And literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people showed up. And she had to leave. And she had to leave the party. And it was a whole mess.
I would hate that. I would never do that. As much as I get it, people love her. And she's very popular. And it's a good problem to have, I suppose. How inconsiderate.
Yeah.
It's not even her wedding. It's someone else's wedding, and she's just trying to be there as a friend, mm-hmm. not Taylor Swift, the entertainer, but Tay-Tay, the friend, so she can be part of this wedding. And so not only did her plans get completely blown up, but the brides did as well. The grooms did as well.
I ruined the night.
Oh, it's so inconsiderate.
And I just don't really understand the craze of going to see, like, okay, you see her in person. What are you going to do? Talk to her? What's she going to pull you up and pull you on stage for her next show? I get it back in like the 60s or like the early 70s when, like, say the Beatles were coming to town and everyone flocked to go see them because there was no social media. There's no internet. You can see Taylor Swift anytime you want. Just YouTube Taylor Swift. You can see what she's doing literally an hour ago. So I just don't see why everyone's got to rush there and flock to go see her when, what are you getting out of that? You're ruining her night. You're ruining her friend's night.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
That's the part that's so frustrating is there's so many people then that are so inconsiderate. It's not her wedding. And I don't think that would be okay anyway. It would still be extremely rude and intrusive. But this is someone else's wedding. And you just ruined their rehearsal dinner.
Ruined the whole thing.
I wonder then if people are on high alert trying to figure out where this wedding is taking place. If Taylor's in it, which theoretically she would be, otherwise why would she attend the rehearsal dinner, right?
Yeah.
And now they're going to attempt to crash the wedding too?
Probably. If that gets out at all, I'm sure.
Oh, no. No. See, here's the thing. I'm not even a JK or L list celebrity. In fact, when people use that word about me, I get very cringy. That's not who I am. I would never want to be Taylor Swift. I don't care how much money. I don't care how famous. I would never want to live my life in that kind of a fishbowl where every single thing you do is, as Jay points out, on the internet seconds after you do it. Your friends, your family, there's no way to protect them. I talked about it earlier this week that this is the reason I do not share photos of Bob on social media. This is the reason I don't share photos of my nieces or my family or tell you where they live or what schools they attend other than my nieces' colleges only because you couldn't find them anyway. This is why I don't give personal information. And I'm not even a celebrity like Taylor Swift. It makes my stomach hurt. It makes me want to curl up in a ball to think about people crashing my wedding who don't belong there, who have nothing to do with it. And again, no one would do this for me because I'm not that popular. But this poor bride, she was just trying to get ready for maybe it's her dream. She's all excited and Taylor's there and makes a way to be there without the entire world knowing. But somehow it gets out and that ruins the whole night. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, and I'm reading this article here in New Jersey that there was this, like, fishing competition in the area. And
someone saw her?
No, all the locals are mad at Taylor Swift. And they said, quote, they should have had it on a different weekend. Like, not, it's ruined their, like, it's not, like, because it's her fault that she was going to her friend's rehearsal dinner and it got blown up.
Like, I wonder how the news got out. If somebody from the wedding party texted it to somebody else or like put a photo up, because I'm sure she could helicopter in and there would be no way, unless someone broke the news or leaked the news, there would be no way anybody would know, oh the, my God, that's Taylor Swift. You're not going to see her on a private plane or see her in a helicopter. You're not going to know who that is. Someone had to have leaked the fact that she was there and it had to. Oh, even now I'd be even ticked. No one in my family would ever do that. My friends wouldn't either. And our wedding's really small. But if I'm the bride or the groom and I know someone leaked the fact that she was there, I would go ballistic.
Yeah.
I would go, you'd be excommunicated from the wedding and from my life immediately. Oh my gosh. That sucks. Again, it's really great that she's popular and she's famous and she's selling a lot of records. She loves her fans. And I think that's part of the deal is that she makes an incredible connection with her fans. They're 110% loyal to her. Anything that she does, anything she says, she can send the Swifties attacking people on social if she wants.
They're arguably the most loyal fan base, like in the
world. Extremely loyal, yes. Like over the top. crazed loyal. But what about ruining her friend's life or her friend's wedding, or in this case, just allowing her, if you really love her, allow her to have a life. If you really care about her as a person, allow her to every now and then not be Taylor Swift, just be Tay. Just be someone's friend or a daughter or a sister or even a girlfriend. If you really do care about her, let her be. Just let her have a life out of the spotlight for 10 minutes every now and then.
She's not performing on the boardwalk like in a special secret private show. She's just going to a friend's rehearsal dinner. Can we let her go to a rehearsal dinner?
Apparently not. I'm sad for the bride and for Taylor, too, because she probably feels terrible. Terrible Tay. Tay feels terrible because she probably did go to great lengths to keep the information private
and
to try and hide it and to do this, even though she knew it was a risk, and then shows up and has to leave. Ugh, gosh, that stinks. That wasn't really the reason why we were talking about Taylor Swift, but I appreciate producer Jay bringing that up. I was more concerned about her vocal rest and how she can do six nights in a row. And I didn't realize she was doing runs like that in particular cities, but I can imagine when you're north of the border, you just want to go ahead and knock them all out. But six nights in a row, she must not talk other than the rehearsal dinner. Maybe she didn't talk at the rehearsal dinner. She must not talk outside of performing.
It'd be tough. I mean, six nights in a row to scream like that for hours, and like she does, and give all, like you said, to give that.
Okay, effort. Screaming. Let's.
Well, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean like she's singing very loud.
But she does talk in between. We know that. So she does interact with people in between the shows or in between the songs.
She dances, like she has all these choreographed like performances. Yeah. Like that's, you know, physically draining too. You got to recover and rest the next day. Mm. That's six nights in a row. Ooh.
She's Shohei Ohtani.
It's like a playoff run.
It is. I think it's really impressive. And she's built an empire of, as you point out, maybe the most loyal fan base of any entertainer and celebrity in the world. But it's a lot. There's a lot that goes with that. And I know the majority of people are out there thinking, whatever, she's... Actually, Jay looked it up. She's worth $750 million. So she and Messi, actually, they're... Estimated net worth is about the same, believe it or not. Yeah, she's got a ton of money. Money doesn't buy privacy. Money doesn't buy peace. Money doesn't buy the chance to be part of a friend's bridal party in peace without scrutiny, without phones in your face. Aw, I feel bad for the bride. Maybe Taylor's used to it, but I feel bad for the bride.
It's got to be annoying.
Yeah, this is why I'm not telling anyone. As if people would show up to mine to crash my wedding.
I could see it happening.
One person. It's a one-person paparazzi.
Would you just let them in at that point?
No. No, absolutely not. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's see. Coming up, Brock Purdy. Ready to roll, baby. But what should the Niners do about Trey Lance? Well, John Lynch is answering the question, sort of. We're off and running week 3 of the NFL preseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
He's a very well-liked guy, one of the better people I've been around, and I do think he's going to have a lot of success in this league. It's been a tough road for him because the times he has gotten an opportunity, he ended up getting hurt and missed that window, and now he's in this position, and we'll always try to do right for Trey. If there's a better situation that his heart's in and something like that, we're going to make sure not to do something that hurts him in that way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Kyle Shanahan, yeah, them's the breaks. This is professional sports, and as much as these are human beings and coaches do have hearts, though Kyle Shanahan doesn't generally display his on his sleeve, of course they care about these guys, they're invested in them, but as a coach – as a general manager, Shanahan and John Lynch, they've got to make the best decisions for their team, especially a team that right now is in a window to win a Super Bowl or at least contend after going to back-to-back NFC championships. The hard part is this is actually on them. It's much, as much as Shanahan can point to Trey Lance getting hurt multiple times, most significantly, though, I think the most damaging was when he got hurt in game two of last season. Not his fault, right? Broken foot. Just one of those freak injuries. Didn't someone roll up on him? I think an opponent rolled up on his foot. Anyway, that's what essentially has derailed him, but also installed Brock Purdy as the starting quarterback. And it sucks. It really does. We could call him the sad sap of the week. But at the same time, has he grabbed hold of the opportunities? They see him week in, week out, day in, day out, practice every single day. During this training camp run, even going back to OTAs when they had the opportunity. Brock Purdy got healthy in time. He's earned the chance to be the starter. But Trey Lance didn't win the number two job either. I mean, they're seeing him. And for Sam Darnold, for Sam Darnold to separate himself from Trey Lance in training camp and preseason, when Darnold's first year in the system and Trey Lance has been around Kyle and John and these offensive players for two plus seasons now, that's on Trey. The injury may not be, the timing may not be, the way that Brock Purdy seized control and crushed it last year when he got the opportunity, that's not on Trey. But losing the number two job, the backup QB job to Sam Darnold, is on Trey. So now Trey Lance gets none of the reps, right? He's going to be running scout team most of the time. He'll be inactive most of the time, unless something changes. That's on him, because we know the majority of NFL teams need multiple quarterbacks to get through the year. The Niners used four of them last season. So if Trey Lance had continued to press through, press forward, work hard, it's not about working hard. It's about working smart. It's about continuing to believe in himself, of course, showing coaches that he's worthy of being the second QB on the depth chart. There's a good chance he would see the field. At the very least, he'd be involved and getting reps every now and then. Instead, I don't want to say he's an afterthought, but he's unlikely to see the field this year. So what do the Niners do with him? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. A lot of trade talk around Trey Lance right now. Here's John Lynch on our Bay Area affiliate, KNBR.
The most likely option is that he's here. If we could find a landing spot for Trey that is, you know, is a really good one for him and, you know, works for our organization, that's not something we turn a blind eye to. But that's not where our focus is right now. That's kind of where we're at. Yeah, there's viable options for all players. But right now, Trey's a part of our team, and we're going to move forward with that in mind.
The benefit is that Trey is still on his rookie contract, right? So he's cheaper than the going rate for an average QB. But at what point do you consider him an upgrade? I guess if you have a quarterback that's hurt, but where around the NFL is there a landing spot for him that it would be any different than where he is right now? Unless there's a backup job available somewhere. We'd have to go through the different QB jobs. But would he be closer to seeing the field? Would it be a better situation because he could get comfortable so quickly? I mean, lost out the number two job with the only franchise he's ever known, the only offense he's ever known, with the O-line and the weapons around him that he's supposed to be comfortable with. I'm not sure that instills a lot of confidence around the NFL that he can pick up a system quickly. Now, John Lynch was asked on KNBR in the Bay Area whether or not the Niners were actually shopping him and looking for trade partners this offseason.
That's not accurate. So, you know, look, people are going to, if I responded to every report, I'd have no time in my day, but that is not accurate.
I'd have no time in my day. All right. Steve Young, Hall of Fame quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, now broadcaster, was on the Zach Gelb show here on CBS Sports Radio. And he was actually asked about best option. Would it be better for Trey to go, or would it be better for Trey to stay in the Bay Area?
If I was Trey, if I wasn't positive that I was, you know, there's maybe a handful to 10 good places for quarterbacks in the league that I would want to go to. If you're not going to go to a place of one of those spots that can take care of the quarterback and teach him and prepare them to be great, I might hang around, even though I'm going to get, you know, kind of third, you know, scout team stuff, because this is one of them. This is one of the 10 where if you're going to play quarterback, this is where you want to be. And you don't know how it's going to go down. Maybe a year of it, maybe you can put up with it. I don't know. But I don't, if he was ever going to send him some random team that doesn't take care of the quarterback, I don't know that I would want that for Trey.
The Hall of Famer Steve Young on the Zach Gelb show here on CBS Sports Radio. A little bit later on, we'll hear from QB1 Brock Purdy. He's ready to go. And to me, this is one of the great stories of the offseason, because we weren't sure how long he'd be out with that UCL. Remember all of the wasted speculation at the beginning of the offseason? So going back to, say, March post-Super Bowl, about whether or not Brock Purdy would be ready and if this was Trey's job, and what would happen if Brock wasn't good to go to begin the season and Trey started to play well, all of that. We waste so much hot air and time in sports radio.
I don't like playing this game.
So we'll do some QB news coming up a little bit later on to get you set for what is a pseudo football weekend. Now it's a real college football weekend, but a pseudo NFL weekend. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, just a couple minutes left to vote in our Messi versus Tay-Tay poll. But we got this tweet from the Hip Hop Pharmacy. I like it. You're forgetting about Beyonce and the Beehive. Taylor Swift fans aren't even close to that level of devotion. That's according to the Hip Hop Pharmacy. I like it. A pharmacy just for hip hoppers. Then on Facebook, we see this. Now, this was producer Jay's story. He didn't put a time frame on it, so I was just kind of spitballing in return. Zach on Facebook, 6 shows in Toronto in 7 days in 2024, next October. Don't have to worry about the fire smoke. Okay, so we didn't know the timing, but that's insane. She's already planning for shows over a year from now. I guess you have to book the arenas.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's worldwide. I see her. Wowzers. She's got shows planned in Japan.
Well, of course. And, yeah, of course. But that's interesting. I guess if you're going to do that type of a residency or a week-long residency at an arena, you have to make sure that the arena is available.
When is it? October?
2024. October 2024.
I guess you got the Leafs. Or the Rogers Center? I think they're both Rogers. I don't know if one's the baseball. They're like both the Rogers Center. I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, she's played MetLife outdoors.
Yeah.
She played absolutely. Gillette outdoors. So she does do these outdoor stadiums.
I think it has a retractable roof, the baseball stadium. But yeah. I would say she would do whichever one's bigger, honestly.
Of course, yeah. If you can sell it out, whichever one is bigger. Does that mean then that she's got it positioned in October, assuming the Blue Jays will not make the postseason?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If it's that one, or if like the Maple Leafs will be.
That'd be a lot smaller, though. Aren't your typical NBA, NHL arenas 18 to 19,000?
Yeah, right.
I suppose there are some that seat a little more or fewer. But for the most part, you don't get a lot of basketball or hockey arenas that are more than 20,000.
No, I think United Center in Chicago is the biggest at like 21,000, actually, biggest arena in America.
Mm. All right. Thank you for your input on either Twitter or Facebook. Always good to connect with you. Coming up, it's the Tour Championship. Yep, this is golf. And Rory is aching. Scottie Scheffler, he's mad. These are the best golfers in the world, minus the live contingent.
I had to. I can't live.
They're vying for the tour championship, so it is a who's who at East Lake in Atlanta. All right, so we'll hear from them coming. Everyone's cranky right now. It's a Friday. What are you cranky about? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's always great to make it to the Tour Championship. It means you've had a really solid year and you've played some good golf. And, you know, this has been a good place for me over the years. At the start of my career, actually, when I came in, I think I came into the Tour Championship number one twice in 12 and 14 and wasn't able to win. And then, since then, I've just sort of figured out a way to play this golf course and get myself into contention. And, I've had a great run here over the years.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
East Lake Golf Club, Atlanta, Georgia. It is the site of the PGA Tour Championship. Oh, so much money on the line. And last year, Rory McIlroy was the winner, so the defending champion. But did you know he nearly opted out of this year's Tour Championship? Todd Lewis delivered this update on the Golf Channel because Rory did not speak after the opening round on Thursday.
Earlier in the week, Rory McIlroy had an awkward movement and tweaked his back. It was a muscular issue, or is a muscular issue. It's not a structural issue. He was uncertain as to whether or not he was going to tee it up at the Tour Championship. Went through a physical therapy session, then went to the range, hit 20 golf balls, came back and had more treatment. And then after that range session and those two sessions of treatment, he decided to give it a go in the Tour Championship. He did lose some speed in his round. He was about a club shorter. But he was proud of the way he fought, especially on the back nine, to put together that round and keep him very much in the mix heading into the rest of play here at the Tour Championship. He did not address the media. He immediately went and got more treatment on his back. We'll see how he feels tomorrow and if he's a go for round two.
So Rory right now is sitting at -7, which puts him 3 strokes off the pace set by a trio of golfers, including a pair who still have hopes to be selected for the U.S. Ryder Cup team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It's not been a banner year for Colin Morikawa. He's been up and down, so inconsistent. But both he and Keegan Bradley are sitting on top of the leaderboard along with Victor Hovland. But for both Colin and Keegan, this is their last opportunity to show U.S. Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson that they should be part of the team. Because remember, they play in Paris. No, I'm sorry. I lied. Outside Rome in October in the Ryder Cup. And while there are 6 golfers who have automatically qualified for Team USA, Zach Johnson also has 6 captain's picks. Now, a lot of the debate is about whether or not Brooks Koepka should be invited, even though he's on the LIV Tour. I don't think that should have anything to do with it. Because he chose to be part of the LIV Tour, you want to shoot yourself in the foot or cut off your nose to spite your face or use whatever cliche you'd like. You don't want to have him on the team because he chose a different tour. You would rather have a weaker team than one that features Brooks Koepka, who is amazing on golf's biggest stages. You'd rather have a weaker lineup just to spite the LIV Tour. What happened to that whole peace, love, and harmony with the new merger and all? Anyway, Morikawa and Bradley are 2 of the golfers who are being considered by Zach Johnson and right now sitting pretty in Atlanta.
Feels great. Shoot, no better time, I guess, in our tour championship than show up and start playing some golf. But it just really, I think, for the next 3 days, is just have that control of the golf ball, keep hitting it pin high, giving myself chances. I mean, I looked at JJ, I think we were through 12 or 13 holes, and we joked thinking that we haven't hit this many shots pin high, you know, in four rounds in a full tournament for a while. So it's been nice to just kind of see that, kind of see the irons do what I want, and just keep it up, really.
I did everything pretty well, but I putted great. I made 2 really nice par putts in the front, and that just kept me going. And then I made a couple pretty good 35 footers, but I played great. You know, it was fun to go out there, and I've been playing this last month under so much pressure every week, it seems like. And to go out there and shoot around like that felt really nice.
Yeah, if you can rise to the occasion in Atlanta and this is your last opportunity to make a statement, I think that's fantastic. First of all, you're up against the best golfers in the world. That's the whole point of the Tour Championship. It's the culmination of the playoffs. Only the strong survive. Only the best golfers in the few weeks leading up to this survive. So if you are there, you're matched up and going toe-to-toe with the best in the world. And if you win it or have a strong showing, it's essentially you get the last word. Right? Brooks Koepka's not there. Doesn't have an opportunity to show what he can do one more time. And Zach Johnson admitted, I don't see him play very often. Scottie Scheffler, he's world number one. He's actually cranky about his first round, and you can understand why. He had a two-stroke lead on the field after his front nine, but then on the back, he bogeyed 11 and 12, plus on a par three hole, the 15th, he smacked his tee shot into the water and ended up with a triple bogey, so he was grumpy.
Obviously pretty frustrated with how I played today. I got off to a pretty good start, and then you know, I had a few three putts today, which is definitely frustrating. And then I had the bad swing there on par three, 15.
That was the one. It's awful of us, right? But how many people out there giggle or chortle or just flat out cackle when a pro golfer shanks a shot or slices it or it goes into the gallery and not hit someone, but it's so far off the fairway that they can't find it. Or in the case of Scheffler, you dunk it into the water on a par three, for heaven's sakes, and then you end up with a triple bogey. Or you three putt. As Jay said in my ear, I can do that.
Golf, bad golf shots have got to be the best bloopers in sports, right? Because they're just so rare. So when they happen, it's like, oh, he's a human. He is normal. He is like us. You can connect with it, you know?
I once heard this really wise statement about the difference between the best of the best, pro golfers, and the rest of us. They spend all of their time doing it, right? That's the difference.
Right.
I'm not going to say you can't, but it's very rare that a human can be really good at golf without practice. It's like picking up the violin. You might be able to play a note or two, but to be really good at it, oh, great. We just lost NFL Network for no TCS.
Must be raining. Oh, no, it just changed it.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Yep. People come in. They're getting ready for their shows. They don't care whether or not we're actually watching the NFL Network. Instead, they prefer to watch a channel in a language that they can't speak. It blows me away. Every time it blows me away.
He needs his stories, I guess. I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
You don't need NFL Network, I guess.
So how should we handle it? Should we walk down the hall and say, yo, we were watching that? Or should we just turn it back and see what happens?
I could probably just turn it back.
Yeah, let's do that. It'll be fun. Yeah. Let's go back and forth. Maybe he'll get the message that way. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Rory McIlroy was speaking before the tournament started, and I only bring this back up because of the whole Liv situation and because he's been so outspoken about Liv. He claims he's no longer thinking about it and that the mess with Liv and PGA and the merger, being blindsided, being betrayed, all that jazz. Yeah, he's over it.
Maybe less emotionally involved. You know, last year it was to do with how can we make the product of the PGA Tour better? And I think I was really invested in that.
I'm not anymore.
So when it comes to like governance and investment and all, like it doesn't really, not that I don't care about it, but it doesn't excite me as much as making the product better and how can we make this the most competitive landscape to play professional golf and how can we get all the best players to play together. Like, that's the stuff that excites me. The stuff that's going on right now, look, I'm on the board and I have to be involved, and whenever something's brought to the table, I'll vote on it, yes or no. And but yeah, maybe just not as emotionally engaged on all of this other stuff.
I think that he's put up some barriers, some walls, if you will. He's thrown up the walls to defend himself and his poor downtrodden heart. Jay Monahan crushed his spirit once. And I do actually feel like he was held out as this sacrificial lamb. Rory took it upon himself. He was the self-described, self-appointed defender of the PGA Tour.
He hit live.
He was emotionally involved. I got you. He was emotionally involved and emotionally attached. And he was sure that his way was the right way, that the PGA was the only way. And he blasted those who left LIV. He insulted LIV and Greg Norman. Back and forth in the media they went. I mean, he was Jay Monahan's very famous, very popular mouthpiece. And then Jay Monahan goes behind his back, digs the knife in deeply. And now Rory continues to play on the PGA, but has boundaries. Rory has set up boundaries so that Jay Monahan and PGA will never get the best of him ever again. You've lost the best of Rory. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey there, dog lovers. It's time to show your furry friend a little extra love and attention. After all, they're not just pets, they're family. At Get Joy, we provide top-of-the-line nutrition and wellness services to improve the lives of dogs and their families. Get Joy's dedicated team of animal science and vet nutritionists have expertly crafted their recipes to give your pup maximum health benefits. With options like gently cooked fresh meals, freeze-dried meals with pre, pro, and postbiotics for optimal gut health, and single-ingredient beef treats. Your best friend just got upgraded to a whole new level of pampering. And the best part? GetJoy's meals are made with wholesome ingredients right here in the USA with no fillers or artificial preservatives. Plus, when you subscribe to a GetJoy food plan, you'll be connected with a board-certified televet with services available 24/7. As a special offer to our listeners, visit GetJoyFood.com and use the code PODCAST at checkout to get a 50% off your first order today. That's GetJoyFood.com and use the code PODCAST at checkout to get 50% off your first order.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.